Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of true stories, amazing stories, weird stories, strange stories, hard-to-believe stories, fantastic stories, stories told by the people who lived them, who experienced them, who it is part of their lives. I am one of your hosts who's always here, Mr. Adam Beebe. Hello, Adam Beebe. Hello. And with me, as always, is your other host. Hello, Barry Johnston. Barry, the smiling Sensei Johnston. Hello.
How are you, Professor?
I feel a little bit caffeinated. I don't know if you can tell. Right.
Hey, good for you, man. Good for you. I've been drinking some tea, hoping to get my caffeine up. But I'm feeling pretty good. We're both getting ready to go to our 30-year high school reunion. I don't know if you can believe that or not, but
well, Barry, it's your 30th high school reunion. It's my 10th. If you do the math.
I forgot. Yeah. Oh man, it's crazy that much time has passed, man. And it's crazy. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to see some old classmates and you know, for people that don't know, I mean, we had our graduating class was 107 people, which was actually one of the larger classes.
At the time, it was the largest class.
Yeah. So
and I think the 100th class to graduate, if I recall correctly.
Oh wow. You know, and most of those people we grew up with from literally like preschool. And so it's cool, man. It's going to be a trip and I'm really looking forward to it, man. And you're coming in. And so we get to hang out, man.
Yeah, dude. And more importantly, we get to go to El Charro.
Absolutely. I mean, of course.
The reunion is pretty cool, you know, and all. That'll be fun. But El Charro, that's the
absolutely
obvious, most important thing there.
And what will you be getting at El Charro?
I'll be getting the number 11 or Once instead of rice and beans, I want a bowl of the macaroni, and instead of the con carne sauce, I'll get the cheese or some other sauce. And that's exactly what I'll be getting. That's the number 11. It's a cheese enchilada and a chili relleno.
Nice. I was there last year. We did a little family trip down there, and I can say that it's still very good. I remembered it, man.
Yes. Every time I go, it's still there. They still recognize me after all these years when I walk in, and it's always fun. And I love it. Obviously, everybody knows me. They know El Charro is my happy place. It's where my soul food comes from. It's where I get renewed.
They've been there for what, 35? How many years? They've been around for a long time.
At least 35 years, probably close to 40 years.
Yeah.
Because they started off at the, what was the Del Rancho.
That's right. The Del Rancho, man.
Mm-hmm. They started off there at that place, and I liked that place. There was a great vibe there. And then somewhere probably around like 2000, somewhere after 2000s, they moved into the larger building that is not too far away, but it's just there at the north end of town.
Yeah.
Very excited to see El Charro. Very excited, and to see all the people that we went to school with or whatever. I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. Oh, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a blast. You know, we have we, speaking of a reunion today, we have on one of my closest friends. He's a, we are in business together. We are, we actually went to school at the same place in, Florida. And, I'm so happy to bring on my friend Justin to tell us his wild, wild life story.
Yeah, Justin's been, he's been a friend forever. He's with the podcast. He's been a fan. He's been, you know, part of Weirdsville forever. His wife was an early guest on the show, and his now wife, I guess, was, well, yeah, she was.
Yeah,
think,
they were.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, quite, they were. Were they married then?
I or think they were. Married? Yeah, they were married. They, okay. They were, I'm pretty sure.
Regardless, she was a guest on, and he's just, you know, been supportive of the show and of Barry, and you know, he's somebody who, when you, again, in his own words, he thought that his life was normal until he kind of took a step back to take in
definitely not
the
normal.
Interesting aspects that the puzzle, all the puzzle pieces. You know, you can break them apart a little bit sometimes, and you can look at it and be like, oh, this is a little bit different. This is a little bit strange. This is a little bit weird, but it's an incredible narrative. It's a fantastic story, and how it, where it starts and where it ends, and it's super cool. It's super cool. It's got drama. It's got mystery. It's got...
twists and turns.
Yeah, for sure. And it's all very down to earth, and nothing supernatural, but it's incredible anyway. So Barry, why don't you take it off? Not take it off, please.
I could do that.
Well,
my camera's turned off.
Okay, mine. Yeah. So, for all I know, you have taken it off already. but if you kick it off, take it from here.
I would love to. It's my pleasure to introduce one of my closest friends from Enid, Oklahoma, Justin. Justin, what's your weird story?
Thank you guys so much. This is cool to be on here, and maybe a little therapeutic, hopefully. I know that you, Barry, have you know a little bit, a lot of bit probably about all this stuff. But yeah, I guess my weird story is kind of my life. And I started out thinking I wasn't weird. I guess everybody kind of feels that way, right? When they grow up.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Coming from a quote unquote normal family.
For sure, right. Dude. Yeah, everybody thinks their families are kind of normal, I think, for the most part. I don't know. Maybe not, like, but.
I think majority of people do think their families are normal. It's the little things that your family does, maybe that are you find
right.
out. You start to find out that your family isn't normal when you start going over to other people's houses true. When you're a kid.
Right.
You find I feel out like that lasted. That jadedness lasted a long time for me.
Yeah.
And until all this stuff happened. So, yeah. Basically, mostly normal childhood and all that stuff. Ended up marrying what I guess you could kind of consider my high school sweetheart. That's kind of a funny story in itself because she was dating a guy. I was dating a girl in high school. That other guy and girl were brother and sister.
Okay.
And then they
got married?
No, they parted ways, you know, like her and this guy, and then my ex-girlfriend and I, kind of when we all went to college, right, you know, out of high school and everything. Well, we started talking again, you know, one thing leads to another, everything, you know. We end up getting married, this is kind of the start of the weird, right? So we're trying to get to the point of getting married at this point, right? So we're engaged a year and a half, something like that.
How old were you at that time?
I got married at 23.
Okay.
And then so you know, 21, 22, somewhere in there.
Yep.
We're getting ready for the wedding and everything. Maybe 6-8 months before the wedding. And my grandmother on my mom's side smoked her whole life, you know, so had lots of health issues with that.
Yeah.
Was in and out of the hospital and stuff. The latest time she goes into the hospital, it's not looking great. You know, it's maybe 6 months before my ex-wife and I's wedding. And she ends up on what she thinks is her deathbed, and ends up making it out. Was great. Well, maybe a few weeks go by from that moment. You know, my ex-wife and I are still getting ready for the wedding, everything like that. My mom actually calls and says, "Hey, guys, I want to take you out, you and your sister and your fiance out to dinner." So we go to the Italian restaurant here, you know, that's not that weird or anything, you know, it happens all the time. And she sits us down where we order our stuff and she goes, "Okay, I have to tell you something." And we're like, "Okay." Well, at this point, I'm like, "What the heck? You know, what's going on? Are they not coming to the wedding? Is something weird? You know, I don't know."
Yeah.
Well, turns out she tells me that my grandfather, that I had always been told I kind of look like, maybe have some similar features, facial hair and everything, mm-hmm. is not my actual biological grandfather.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I did not know that, man.
So my grandfather, his name was Ron. He passed away. And at this point, he had already passed. He passed away when I was in college, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my grandmother... and him were divorced long ago. So since my mom was, you know, like junior high or something like that.
Okay.
So I had a good relationship with him, but he lived in California and then Florida. He ended up passing away when I was in school down in Florida. Okay. And got to see him, so that was nice. But turns out he is not my biological grandfather.
Wow.
And my grandma, on her what she thought deathbed, told my mom this to her after my mom is... 50 something, maybe 50 at this point.
Whoa.
And had gone her whole life not knowing.
Whoa.
And my first thing is the guy that is my biological grandpa, we do know he actually lived with my mom and her parents when they were still together as a family friend.
Oh.
So... my mom had always said to me, I think it's safe for me to say his name, Jerry was always like a father to her because my grandpa worked. He actually really cool. He worked for Northrop and helped to develop the B-2 bomber. So my grandpa had like super top secret clearance on the airplane stuff. So he was out all the time. But Jerry was kind of, you know, took her do things, you know, park and stuff like that. Said always like a dad to me. And Jerry... had called me as I was growing up. At this point, remember, I'm 21, 22, but called me every so often for Christmas to wish me a happy Christmas, and I have never met him.
Oh, my gosh.
So he would say, and the last time he said anything to me, this also, Jerry at this point is dead, okay?
Okay.
He had passed away from liver failure.
Okay.
I never got to meet him, but I got to talk to him. And so... the last thing he said to me before he passed away, he had called me again for Christmas and he sent me $100 for Christmas. Wow. Never met this man in my life. And says, "I know you don't know me, but I want to let you know I love you."
Whoa.
So we don't know that he knew, but we think he knew, you know?
Wow.
Well, man. It sounds like he knew.
Yeah, I think
if he
knew.
Was calling you. And
so I'm back at the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I always thought I kind of looked like what I thought was my biological grandpa. Well, I've seen pictures of Jerry, and he is bald, bald, bald.
Wow.
And I said, and I had already started to lose my hair at this point, and I said, "Oh my gosh, Jerry's bald. This is where I get it."
Wow.
And now if you look at a picture of me and him,
Dad.
Striking, like it's a striking
gosh.
Resemblance.
All right,
hold
really?
On. Before,
okay. Yeah, there's a lot there, man. Holy shit, dude.
Just for my own side, I just want to clear a few things up. So how old was your grandma? See, my dad's name. Okay. How old was your grandmother?
At this point, she was in her early 80s when she died.
Oh, so, and that was probably how long ago?
That would have been 2011 when she passed away.
Okay. Because, see, my dad's name was Jerry. He was also bald.
is he from Nebraska?
No. He's Oklahoma.
Can I ask? Yeah, go ahead. I want to ask, I mean, and this may be too personal. If you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. But what kind of, what was your mom's reaction to that?
Well, she had waited a few weeks to tell us. And so she was processing, you know. I mean, she found out her dad wasn't her dad, which her dad's her dad, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, I still don't know, like, what was going through her head exactly, other than just trying to process.
Yeah.
Trying to find the way to tell my sister and I.
Yeah. What was going through your head?
I mean, at that point... you know, wedding planning and everything else. Honestly, I was like, oh, this is why I'm going to be bald. So,
I only asked that because I had some things revealed to me probably about the same age about my grandfather that I never knew. And, I had to wrestle with those things. I'm not saying it was the same thing. I'm just saying it was a thing that was a curveball thrown at me. And I had to, you know, because he had already been passed away, and it was like, man, okay, how do I navigate that? Like, it, you know, you know, it more figuratively in a way, but the man that I knew and the man that I'm telling, or that I'm being told, are maybe different people. And, and that was hard for me. But what I came to the conclusion was, much like yourself, he was my grandfather. He loved me. That was unconditional, and whatever he did does not affect me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
You know.
And I had a good relationship with my grandpa, you know. And then I wish I could have known Jerry, the bio grandpa. You know, I got to talk to him, you know, a dozen times or something like that. But I wish I could have known him. I think that's my only, like, I guess, sadness in the whole thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Did you ever think it was weird that you just get this call at Christmas time from this guy, or it was just kind of?
When he died, I was probably, he died way before this revelation. Like, I was probably 13, maybe, maybe a little younger.
Okay.
So it was, I mean, almost 10 years before, you know, this whole thing came out. But yeah, I mean, at the time, my mom explained it away. You know, she's like, and she didn't know, obviously,
of course,
you know, so she's saying, it's, you know, he was like a father to me. He's a great family friend. You know, he just wants to say hi. You know, he hasn't got to meet you or anything, you know. And so, and that was, I mean, tell a 10-year-old that's not that big of a deal, know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like she didn't know any different. It, basically, she's saying that's like Uncle Jerry, you know.
That's exactly what it was. I think we even may have called him that, you know. So,
Yeah. Wow.
Although I want to point out that when Barry was talking about his grandfather being two different people, he was one person.
Right.
It's just
one
part of it. It's like he didn't know this other half. And I think you've talked about that on the show, but that's your story to share.
Yeah.
Did your, I guess I may be jumping ahead here, but did your real grandfather know?
Yeah, so we think he knew. You mean my non-bio grandpa?
Yeah, not Jerry. Jerry knew.
Supposedly, no.
Okay.
Supposedly. Because he had, like I said, passed away, and it would have been 2007. Mm-hmm. This is 2011. Jerry had passed away, you know, way before that, you know, probably in, 98, 99, something like that.
Okay.
And supposedly no, but I guess we'll never know on that one.
Yeah.
We can zigzag here in the story a little bit, but in recent years, within the last 2 or 3 years, my mom has gotten in contact with her half brother.
Oh, from Jerry. Wow.
And if you would put us together in a room and I would shave my beard, we look exactly alike.
Wow.
In the same gap, same face shape. We're bald.
Wow.
I mean, and he's my uncle, and he's 6 months younger than me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so Jerry had kids with his wife late in life. So,
Have you met him?
I have. He came and visited in Enid when he was coming through. His daughter's in dance. He has a daughter a little bit older than mine. And wow. we chat and talk and
that's
text.
That's cool,
and,
man.
Actually, he lives in Dallas.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
We'll have to have lunch with
him. His name's Josh.
Okay. So, yeah. Wow.
It's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Like, that one's cool. I like that. You know, we get along great. I mean, it's a neat, it's literally a long lost uncle, you know?
Yeah, really.
So that's in recent, pretty recent. So that's a cool thing that came out of this is an extra family member. And it's kind of nice to be able to get to know him, you know, and get to know a little bit of Jerry that way.
That's
so
cool, man.
Yep. Did your mom have any siblings other than the?
She has one sister, which is apparently her half sister, with you know her actual mom and then her father that she considered her father. You know, yep. Non-binary.
Okay.
Yeah, and so and when you look at them. Now it all comes to light because I can see it if you take pictures of everybody.
Right.
You know, my aunt looks like non-bio grandpa. My mom looks like bio grandpa.
Wow.
They shape everything. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty cool adoption stories and stuff and people that find long lost relatives or people that they didn't know they were related to, brothers and sisters. And it's always fascinating. That's actually a TikTok rabbit hole that I like to go down sometimes, you know, the Hope Corps stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah,
it's cool, man. Families are created in so many different ways, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah. Go ahead.
I think this is our first, near deathbed confession though.
So we'll continue on from there. Right.
Cool.
So we get to the wedding of my ex-wife and I, and my grandmother has held on. She made it. She made it to the wedding. The last picture I have of her with me is at my wedding.
Wow.
Because after I got married, went on my honeymoon with my ex-wife, she passed away 3 days after my wedding while we were in Cancun on our honeymoon.
Wow.
So she literally was holding on, you know? And they didn't tell me, my mom and everybody didn't tell us. This was 2011, so we had smartphones and stuff. And I was actually in our hotel room on my honeymoon, and something just hit me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I think grandma passed. And my ex-wife at the time was like, are you sure? I mean, don't look it up. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Curiosity gets the best of you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I look it up, and sure enough, the obituary is on the local paper website, and it had happened the day before. And I'm like, I said, I could just feel it, man, you know?
Wow.
And so, of course, I call my parents, and they're like, hey, we didn't want to tell you, you know, we're going to do the funeral in a day or two. You'll still be on the honeymoon. We had, you know, it was like a week-long honeymoon, something like that. And they said, do not feel like you need to come back. She's going to be cremated. It's okay. And I said, okay, you know, we won't, and that's okay. And I was all right with that. I mean, my grandma had held out, you know, for this and everything, so... I think it all worked out as far as that goes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Wow.
And it's you know, when you have a cremation, it's a different kind of ceremony than you have with bury somebody. So it's not quite the same.
Yeah. And the nice thing was too, the last moment was her smiling ear to ear because she had made it to the wedding. We got great pictures. You know what I mean? Like it was great. And she was in great spirits, you know.
That's awesome.
So it was a great, really great last memory with her. I mean, that was the best thing. That came out of that for sure.
Wow.
So,
man, tore up at the wedding, having a lot of good champagne.
Actually got married on a college campus, and you weren't allowed to have booze. But as Barry knows, all of our friends, that doesn't stop them. Yeah. So we're stripping tables at the end, and there's like full handles of Jack and Crown and stuff everywhere. And I was like, yeah, that's about right.
That's great, man. Yeah. That is so crazy that, life is like that, you know, like you hold on for those moments and you hear these stories all the time. I know that when my grandfather passed away, the hospice nurse told us that oftentimes that when they're like ready to go, they'll wait till all the family members leave because they don't want to pass while you're there. And so that's just a fascinating thing that we can hold on for those things that we are like you know, looking forward to, and, you know, and then that's the end. And it's just, you know, that's awesome that, that she made it. That's pretty amazing, man.
It was definitely a conscious decision somehow. You know, right. I think there's a lot of people are in the mind, you know, for that type of thing.
For sure.
So the story kind of continues on to where I thought I was normal type of thing, and it, life gets weirder. And, you know, at this point, I'm married, you know, and working at this point for my dad and everything. And the marriage was pretty rocky, you know, within the first couple of years. It was pretty obvious that it was rocky, you know, just not necessarily, we didn't necessarily not get along, but there wasn't intimacy at all.
Yeah.
No, literally, celibate for 6 years of the 8 year marriage.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah.
So that raises some questions, but
it does. And so I know, and that's one of those things as a guy, you're sitting there going, you know, you're a guy, you know, and I'm, you explain it away, you know, as much as you can, and, you know, talk to your friends about it. And I've talked to my best friend about it and everything like that. And, you know, it just, I just kept explaining it away, you know, and one thing and all that. So, one Thanksgiving, we're about 7 years into our marriage at this point, 7 and a half. We are planning a trip for Thanksgiving to go down to Florida, where my ex-wife's mom and her boyfriend are living. Mm-hmm. And the mom and the boyfriend had gotten engaged. They decided to get married. I, being the good online minister that I am, said I'd be happy to do the wedding for them, you know. And I've, at this point, I had performed my sister's wedding, a couple other friends, you know, just real simple stuff. And
Universal
just a nice
Church thing. Of Life.
Yeah, that's the one, man. You got to do it. So
you're making me feel left out.
Got my parking pass and everything.
Yeah, nice.
Well, you better spend that $25 in 5 minutes.
I'm going.
Oh, it's great, dude. I've done two weddings.
So. You know, I'd volunteered to do my ex-wife's mom and the boyfriend's wedding. We're getting ready. This about maybe 2 weeks from Thanksgiving, and they were going to get married out on the Thanksgiving break that we were going down for and everything like that in their backyard in Florida, pretty everything. Well, finally, my ex-wife comes to me again about 2 weeks before our already paid for planned trip and says, I got to tell you something. And I said, okay, what's up? You know, like, what's going on? And just starts, you know, crying, everything like that. And I'm like, let's just tell me. Just tell me what's going on. It's okay. You know, I'm not going to be mad. We'll figure it out. No big deal. And she drops a bomb that she is a lesbian. And I said, okay, okay. You know, at this point, it was like my blinders were taken off, you know, and I went into the whole not know what to do mode, you know, for the next couple weeks up until the trip. I just kind of went to work, came home, went to work, came home. You know, we would talk a little bit here and there about what was next. It was kind of all a blur in those 2 weeks, you know. Eventually, we talked about it and decided that we had to separate. You know, that made the most sense, obviously.
Yeah.
And sometimes not, obviously. At this point, I had found an online, kind of an online therapy group for people going through the same thing for my situation, called the Straight Spouse Network. So that had helped, you know, talking to people in other similar situations and everything like that. But I had told no one. We did not tell family. We didn't tell anybody, not a friend. It was just between her and I. We got down to Florida. I still performed the wedding ceremony. And then after the wedding ceremony, the day after, I think, we told her family. And, I don't think it was a surprise to her mom. You know, it was obviously a surprise to the boyfriend, now husband, and everything like that. And I actually had a friend down there, because I went to college in the Orlando area. And so I went and talked to my friend down there, told him, and, you know, he was kind of a bro and you know, went out for a beer and we talked about it and everything like that. And he was, you know, sympathetic and everything. But we ended up coming back to Oklahoma City and you know, through the airport. My best friend lives in Oklahoma City, and I said, we have to stop and tell him because he's the one I talk to every day, you know. And so same thing, him and I go out for a beer. She leaves us alone for a little bit, you know, type thing. And he's like, I've been trying to tell you for 6 years, you know, like,
wow.
He knew without knowing type of thing, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. just like, you know, yeah. obvious to the person that's watching type of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And so now we have a running joke. Anytime I'm like, okay, dude, is my wife gay yet? And she's like, he's like, nope, you're good. You're good.
rely on him for sure.
Yep. But no, it's, so, you know, pretty soon after all this, once my brain clears a little bit, my soon to be ex and I agree to start dating. Well, I haven't dated since right out of high school. So, kind of like one of your previous interviewees on here, I had no idea what I was doing at all, yeah. at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, do the Tinder thing, do match, start, you know, swiping left, right, whatever.
Dude, I, as a perpetually single male, dating is, it's worse now. You know, it's, you know, it used to be you would actually like meet people in person or be introduced by somebody else. And yep. now it's all like, you don't do that. It's weird to do that yeah. anymore. You know, and then, you know, trying to meeting people. I mean, it is a crapshoot. And most of the time the crap, you know, those dice are loaded, not in yep. your favor. I mean, and especially for dudes, you know, because yeah. women, they all get, you know, hundreds
of course, yeah,
of, you know, messages every day on the things, you know, usually it's with, hey, you know, or hi or something, you know, got to be more than that. Yeah. But you know, they get on, you know, they just get hundreds and hundreds, and then they've got to filter through all of those. And whereas, yeah. you know, as a guy, you know, I would rarely, if ever, get a, someone sending me a message or and oftentimes a response to a message that I worked the nerve up yeah. to send. So yeah, it's
different.
It's,
world.
It's no fun. It's a different yeah. world. It's yeah. no fun world. So I was yeah. shit at it in the first place.
So we like I said, we kind of agreed to start dating, even though she hadn't quite moved and we hadn't sold our house and done all the stuff that you do when you get a divorce thing. I still do actually DJ a lot of weddings and proms and dances and stuff. So this is right after Thanksgiving, right when we get back, maybe within a week or so. So Christmas is coming up. I had already been booked to DJ this winter formal for a local high school here, and the the winter formal was at the same reception hall that my then wife and I had gotten married in.
Oh, great.
The same place that I took the picture with my grandma last of, the same wow. whole deal.
Oh, boy. You know,
so I'm going
sometimes
in.
Sometimes the universe laughs.
Maybe a month of finding this out, you know, at this point, still figuring everything out, and I got to go sit there for 5 hours, you know, in the spot where it all started.
Mm.
And so I'm sitting there playing cha-cha slide, not having a good time. I've done this 1,000 times on my phone. The kids are texting, you know, what they want or coming up to me, whatever. And I'm swiping through Match and Tinder and all that. And there had been one person on Match that and Tinder, I think, that I had messaged and liked or hearted or swiped right on, whatever, you know. Yeah. And I decided to message her that night, sitting right there. And it said T. Jordan, and I was like, okay, her name must be Jordan or something, go by Jordan. And I was like, she kind of looks like Rachel McAdams. Like, I've always had a, you know, celebrity crush on her. And I was like, she's really pretty. Seems like we have stuff in common. She likes music. She likes, you know, all the stuff. And so I just said, hey, looks like we have a lot in common. You know, I don't know what the heck I'm doing with this thing. Sorry. You know, nothing. Dead silence, right? Next day, I get a message back and says, hey, so sorry I didn't message you back. I was actually at taking pictures last night for a high school winter formal and was really busy. And I said, what high school winter formal? And she said, the local high school, the one that I was DJing at.
Wow.
And I said, you are freaking kidding me. And at this point, when I had messaged her, it had been maybe 24 hours or something. It kept saying, and it may have done this before because I swiped right or whatever, and the match thing is creepy. It's like, you've crossed paths with T. Jordan.
Oh.
And I'm like, stop tracking me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And but it had done that at least 5 or 6 times. And apparently it had done that on her end too because I swiped right or whatever, you know? And so that's, you know, part of the reason why she messaged me back, because we'd crossed paths. Well, not only was she at the photographer at the same winter formal that I was DJing at the same place that I'd originally gotten married at, she lived in the neighborhood across the main street from me. So she was turning this way to go to work. I was turning this way. We were literally going next to each other every day to work.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude.
She was a teacher at that high school. Well, we have not stopped talking since that moment, and we are now married almost 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old daughter.
That's awesome.
And so it's all a really happy ending.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that it can come along to where everything's connected like that. And you know, her name's not Jordan, it's Taylor Jordan, which is another weird story in itself that's a little bit creepy. I really like the band Hanson, like Mbop, like grew up loving them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the lead singer of that band is named Jordan Taylor Hanson, and my wife's name is Taylor Jordan, now Blazer. And so I'm not a stalker, I'm not a weirdo, I didn't know that when we got together, but... You
know. But it added a little a little plus sign.
Little plus on there, man.
That's hilarious, man. Yeah, and that courtship was pretty quick. You knew it right away, you know?
Did. And that was the weirdest thing, you know, talking. We actually stayed up talking that night when she actually messaged me back, first through Match and Tinder and all that, and then via text and then finally on the phone. We stayed up. She probably messaged me back at 7 o'clock at night. We stayed up till 5 in the morning talking. Wow. And then she had to go to work and teach school the next day. And so here's the other part of that. That day that she messaged me back, the day after that, my divorce was scheduled to be finalized.
Wow.
So I was single a total of about 4 hours.
That's hilarious, man.
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't know that, man.
Because Taylor and I had our first date on the day my divorce was final.
Wow.
Wow. She knows this, so it's all good.
That is funny, man. You know, another thing is Taylor worked for my wife at one time at Sugar Rush for a little while.
Yep.
And, you know, Enid is big enough to be a big town, small enough to be, you know, you kind of know a little bit of everybody, but it's big enough to where you don't really know everybody. You know what I mean?
It's weird because we have a 6-year age gap between Taylor and I. And so that's the only reason we didn't really, you know each other, even though we're crossing paths all the time. Like our dads played softball together. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But she was just young enough to where, you know, if I was in high school, it'd be illegal and weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're in our 30s and 30 and 36 is not that weird.
Back when we were in high school, man, you know, I can remember a girl when we were in seventh, eighth grade that was dating a senior in high school, and he would drop her off at middle school every morning, dude. And I think back on those times, and I'm like,
there was a couple of them.
Yeah,
and then there was one that was dating somebody who was even older. It was who wasn't in high school. Yeah, he was right.
Wouldn't happen today.
Yeah. Well,
That happy ending of the whole thing, you know, is obviously I'm very happily married now, have a wonderful 3-year-old kid. And actually, fun fact, Match.com featured Taylor and I on their website.
Oh, really?
As awesome, a success dude. Story. So
that's awesome. And also,
it can still work.
That's awesome. I say this too, that you and your ex are very amicable.
That's true. And that's I wanted to say that here too. I didn't say her name or anything like that, but utmost respect for her, finding out who she is. It took a lot of courage for her to literally come out and, you know, upend both of everything that we knew. Like, it wasn't just me, it was her too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Took a lot of courage and a lot of strength on her part to figure that out. And her and I talk about once a month, you know, she's no longer in Enid, but, just kind of catch up, you know, say hi, make sure, you know, the goings on, but yeah, very, very amicable. Never had any kind of animosity or anything like that. I mean, I don't know if that's just, you know,
you're a good person though, too, man.
Well, I mean,
you are.
The thing is I'm a very firm believer in you're a product of your experiences, right?
Yeah.
And so I would not be in this happy place without that. And I actually have told my ex that before. You know, I'm like, thank you for having the courage, because my life is exactly where I want to be now.
Well, and that's the thing too, in a situation like that. In a marriage, you have two people, and although you're separate, you're also together, but you have two different, you know, people that want different things in their lives. And when you're going through something like this, and, you know, it's difficult for everybody because you're wanting something out of your life, the other person's wanting something out of their life, but they are obviously moving in a way different direction. And how do you come to grips with that? And it does take courage. It does, you know, we come from an area that is, there's still some residual effect of the Bible Belt thing. When Adam and I were growing up, it was much, much more intense. And these types of things were hard, you know, and you would have a lot of people that would, the thing to do, especially for whatever reason in our neck of the woods, the thing to do is get married very young and have a kid. And that's what you do. And
that's totally what happened, I think, to both my ex and I, is we just fell into that default mode, you know? And so we both didn't kind of have time to figure out what we wanted, who we were.
Right.
You're still young. Just,
young.
And what you said is so right, because it's like, if you don't go through an experience like that, like, maybe you don't know what you want, but then when you go through something like that, now it's crystallized. This is what I want. You know what I mean? And I have to go after that. And when I find that thing, I gotta go for it. You know,
you can ask my wife now, whenever we had that first talk, I jumped in way too fast probably on it. But I was like, listen, I'm in the middle of a divorce. She's lesbian. I want kids. Yeah. And I want to be married, you know? And it's that's the deal. And you know what Taylor said to me? She goes, hey, we all have our shit.
Right.
And I was like, are you an angel?
That's awesome. And that takes a special type of person to understand that too, from her point of view, because that can be difficult too, you know, coming in with a situation like that. And you're like, we don't know what kind of baggage this guy's bringing, you know, how does that affect him and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you guys both, you've navigated it so well, and you got such a cute kid, man. She is
she's
a little pistol, man, and she's smart and she's cute, and you're going to have your hands full in about 10 more years, dude.
I can imagine. She's very opinionated right now. Just took her to her last dance class for the summer today until September. So, she's pretty great.
And another thing about Justin, too, is he took in, this is kind of a weird thing, I mean, you know, weird in a cool way. But they they took in an exchange student from Germany this year, and she was so cool, man. She was great, and she got
She's awesome.
She got to come to America and experience it, and be in a loving family. And they had her in all the activities. I mean,
she took Aikido from me for a couple
did.
Months.
Yeah, so. She was great, man. Yep. Yeah, she's
good. So.
She's a good kid, and it's cool to be able to, you know, my limited interaction with her, I did my best to try to show her what America's like, you know. And
She is in love with America.
Yeah.
She wants to come back as soon as possible, so we're working on it. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's great.
That's so cool.
But the other, I guess, weird connection that you and I have, Bear, is... you know, when we were introduced, I was thinking about going to Full Sail.
Right.
And you told me not to go.
Yes, I did.
I did. You said, don't go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, you know, and everybody's got to make their own decision on that kind of thing. And it's hard because it's like when you've been sort of in the trenches and doing it and you see young kids, they're going to school and then they're spending all this money to do something. And then they kind of just never do anything with it. Like, yeah. I don't know how many kids like in my year, cause it's a full year program. It's a 2-year degree, but they smash it all into 1 year at that time. Anyway,
That's what
our attrition rate in that was huge, dude. I think we started with 80 people and then my graduating class was like 30, something like that.
Yeah.
And then out of those and you know how you become friends with kids that are like in other classes, you know what I mean? That are ahead or below. Out of all those kids, there's only 3 of us that are still doing something. And I was just like, dude, you know, if my thing is, if you're going to go with the intent of learning something, but if you're just going to go spend money, go get a job, you know, throwing the trash out at a studio or something like that.
My two friends, case in point, I guess, is one of them is a real estate agent and the other one is a Grammy award winning producer.
Right.
From Full Sail.
Yeah.
So
you never know.
You can go either way.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Full Sail's great at giving you the information and stuff like that. And, but what it really comes down to is determination, hard work. And I would even say talent is maybe not even in there. Talent can be, you know, you can work on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But really though, Barry, think about it this way also. And this is one thing that why people, you know, maybe should go to school or whatever, but the connections that you do make.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is, you're right.
That's how you got in.
That's true.
Outside, it wasn't necessarily
100%.
You had the knowledge, which was great, and you were doing work and doing all the DIY type stuff.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, your friends that you made and the networking that happened.
That's
actually because of
that's 100% true. Because one of the guys that I went to school with, he was good friends with the first band that I went on tour with. So if it weren't for him. You know, but I think I was just butthurt for a long time about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because I didn't like the way that things went down. I had a really bad internship that I got into that ended up just not being great. But you made the right decision for you, man.
Yeah,
you did, dude. You, in Dallas, actually, right?
In Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mind saying the band on that one if you want, if you're all right
with
it.
Yeah, of course, dude. Course.
Yeah, the guys, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Deep Blue Something. Yep, so. Is that their name?
Deep Blue Something, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I worked for them for 3 or 4 months and got thrown into it and should have gotten paid for some things and didn't.
Same thing.
I still have I walked away and I still have a key to that studio. I'm sure it doesn't exist anymore.
they were big. Like that would have been, what was that? What year was that, man?
That would have been 1996,
97. Yeah, 96 or 97, yeah.
Okay.
They were in the that kind of later alternative summer kind of stuff. So probably, you know, the alternative summer, which lasted from like 93 to about 97.
Right.
So they were probably, you know, they were probably there around 96. I would imagine.
Yeah. If you want to get real weird and tie the whole thing in together, my wife went to an event last night at our country club that was Breakfast at Tiffany's themed.
Oh, wow.
So
I was singing that to her all night last night.
Here's a full sale story for you. One of the bands, because back, I don't know if they still do this, but they would offer free studio time to bands so that you could come in.
Yes.
And then the students would record you. One of the bands that we worked with was Matchbox 20. Before they were Matchbox 20, they were known as Tabitha's Secret. And I remember, so there were maybe you can find this online somewhere, but like they had two guitar players with the biggest mullets that I've ever seen in my life, dude. And then it was the drummer that is still with them, the bass player that's still with them, and then Rob. And they came in, and it took them eight, because you did 8-hour blocks. We had a nighttime session with them. It took them 8 hours to cut drum tracks for one song. They fought the entire time. I mean, arguing. And so they finally kind of get the bed tracks down for Rob to go in and sing. And I'm just thinking, this is a fucking train wreck the whole time, right? And he goes in, dude, and he cuts a vocal in the first take. And I'm like, fuck, this guy's good, man. This guy's really, really good. And then, so I'm like, okay, whatever. And they were kind of touted at that time as like Orlando's like up and coming band or whatever. And then I had a friend that worked at WEA at the time in the A&R department. And this is probably, gosh, 2 years later. I'm sitting in my room in Pennsylvania, in Bethlehem, and I'm watching MTV, and I see this band come on, and I'm like, God damn, they look familiar. And then I'm like, holy shit, dude, it's those guys. And they changed the name. They got two new good-looking guitar players, and and they became, you know, Matchbox 20, which is
that's crazy.
It's pretty wild, man. And
that is wild.
But now, yeah.
Didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong here, what, didn't Nikki like know them or something?
Yeah,
she
knew Rob, she knew those guys. My wife worked with bands a lot back then. She toured with a bunch of bands, and yeah, she knew those guys. And I always talk shit on them, but I'm too punk rock for that. But I have respect for what they do. I think he's a really talented dude. There's no doubt about it, man. I mean, he could deliver, and he's a great songwriter. So, but yeah, that was crazy, man. That was, gosh, I went to school there in 94, from 94 to 95. And then I went up to New York and I did my bad internship. Just like you, I got into a situation where they were supposed to pay me. They never paid me. You know, I could see how it was going. And then I cut out. But it was so good. Funny. Yeah, it was.
We've had such similar life experiences.
I know,
like,
man. Yeah, it's crazy. And now we're working together. Now we're.
That's what I was going to say. It all comes around, right?
Absolutely, man.
I get out of the oil field. Yep. You get out of the lawn biz, and we decide to just go for it.
Well, it's funny. We had a running joke because, you know, Justin owned a brewery, and so I started to get into making beer right before the brewery opened, and I knew that Justin was a brewer, and so I was like, hey, man, how do I do this? And so he, you know, come over, man, we'll brew. And so we start doing the brewery thing. I start brewing at the brewery, and we had a running joke that you have to have a full sale degree in order to brew beer.
That's the prerequisite for brewing at my brewery.
But now we're back into audio stuff. We're doing some cool shit, man. So
yeah, it's really good.
Good stuff.
Good
man.
Stuff. And still brewing beer on the side and trying to make it the best we can.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So. Crazy stuff. Well, yeah, I never knew that stuff, man, about you.
Yeah, you know, life, like I said, most people think they have a normal family or a normal life. Yep. And then you kind of take a step back and look at it and you're like, whoa. And then all the connections and the different, you know, ways of, you know, new family members that come out of nowhere. And
yeah,
you know, I think the moral of my life is you're a product of everything you go through and the choices you make. And I would not change a thing. Everybody, you know, everybody posts on Facebook. If you could change one thing in your history or do, and I, not a thing. I don't want to change anything. Not a thing.
Absolutely, man. And leading with positivity also, and not allowing, because life is so difficult anyway. And it's so, I think if you can make it through your life where like you don't allow those things to like, just, you know, become large chips on your shoulder, it is like the key to it. Because, you know, leading with positivity and seeing the good in things that, you know, even in the bad things that happen, is that's the way to go, man.
I probably needed therapy, but I never went because of probably, you know, too much ADHD,
right?
Which I'm finally medicated for. But you know, it's one of those things where I allowed myself in the mourning of the loss of the marriage and everything like that, a set time.
Yeah.
To grieve that, if you will. And it was kind of those 2 weeks, you know, I was like, well, 2 weeks of just going back and
forth. You were probably sort of grieving throughout that entire marriage as far as like, people, you know what I mean?
People always ask, how did you do that? Like, why, you know, my wife Taylor and I started dating, December of 2018 and got married December 20th of 2019.
Yeah.
So we were only known each other for a year when we got married, but it was one of those things that we threw it all out on the table. I mean, every single little tiny bit. But I knew what I wanted. You know, I knew the type of person I wanted. I knew the things that I wanted, the people that I wanted in my life at that point. And so did she. And she was at a transition point in her life that I'm sure is a whole nother story. But it was all at the right moment in time for the two right people to be together. And I think it was the product of making decisions and not letting it get you down and just pushing forward.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
And the irony of the extra added irony when you go back and you look at the place that you
were literally in.
Yeah, where you the place you got married. It was the place that was the last day of that you were the start of your marriage and the end of your marriage were in the same place.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Where you
within 24 hours. Yeah, man. And yep.
Where you, oh. You know, and that's where your new life and your new wife, that's where that all began. It's just
almost wild. Seems like it's all for a reason and connected.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird world we live in, man. That's awesome, dude. Well, thank you, man. This has been awesome, dude. I learned things about you that I didn't know about, you know?
I wanted to thank you as well, but I want to remind everybody, this is, your wife, Taylor, was a pretty early guest on
the show.
Yep.
Her freaking creepy ghost story, man.
Yeah, that, dude. That
picture haunts my dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was maybe our year anniversary episode. It's first year, that kind of thing. But it was really cool because, she had that photo with that really, really weird face.
Yeah.
And,
I can see that in my mind all the time. When she showed me that, told me, I was like, you're telling me there wasn't a guy in that room? She's like, no, it was an all-girls dorm. And I'm like, that is messed up.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, dude.
Yeah, go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You got to scroll all the way back. All the way back.
Yep, yeah.
Yep. Well, cool, man.
But you can find that in all of our episodes at on our website, www.whatsyourweirdstory.com.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. And you know, I've been a huge fan. It's been great listening. And, you know, hopefully people listen to this one and say, look for the positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, thank you, dude. Thank you for coming on. If it weren't for people like you, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. So thanks. Thanks, man.
Get this. We call it What's Your Weird Story, right? But we don't limit it to weird stories. It's true. Sometimes we have crazy travel and epic adventure stories. Sometimes we do book reports and other special episodes. Sometimes we'll cover some weird news. Sometimes I'll see one of my oldest, dearest friends just dancing around and punching the air for 5 minutes before we sit down and record an episode. But hey, it's all good because it's fun to talk to people, to make new friends, to get in touch and reacquainted with old friends and hear amazing stories.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on. And these are things that I never knew. We're close and we talk a lot. And just goes to show you, no matter how well you know somebody, there's always something in their story that you may not know as a friend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, as his stories illustrate, there's often things that you may not know as a family member.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. In your own family. And, you know, family history and family mysteries are always very, very interesting and very intriguing. And so, you know, like his real, I guess his real grandfather, Jerry, no relation to my dad.
Yep.
you know, but his real, I mean, that would have been back in the day, that would have been extremely scandalous.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would have been, you know, like when probably in like the 40s or 50s, I would have met.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you wouldn't talk about those things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, yeah, I mean, big time, like. It's just wild.
Yeah,
it's
it is wild. It is wild, and
him having that connection, not knowing what it was, you know, it was like. That old, like the old uncle friend of kind, quote uncle,
yeah,
friend of the family, always been around,
yeah,
periphery,
yeah, so interesting, man, and cool that he was able to be a part of his life. You know, he made an attempt to at least be in some,
covertly, yeah,
so it was really so cool. And then, of course, you know, his first marriage that was, really a tough one, and I was with him in that time, and that was a tough thing to go through, and but just, you know, how that worked out with his new wife Taylor, and you know, just to see the life that he has now, it's wonderful. He's a great father and a great friend, and just it's cool and a heartwarming story.
And you know, to me, the fact that he's still on good terms with his first wife, you know, and understanding that, you know, it would never been a happy marriage.
Yeah.
If she had never, you know, come out and she never, you know, accepted who she was.
For sure.
Which has got to be extremely difficult still today, you know.
Very.
And especially in conservative areas of the country like ours, you know.
Yeah, that takes a lot of guts, and my hat's off to her for that.
Absolutely.
You know, for sure.
Absolutely.
Just amazing, man. I, you know, again, no matter how well you know somebody, there's always things that you don't talk about, maybe just because you've never broached the subject, and that's, you know, I don't know how many people that I've had conversations with that I find out something new about them, and I'm like, oh wow, that just it fills in the little pieces of someone that makes a person who they are, and really cool, man, and all of the endeavors that we've gotten the opportunity to share over time, it's just it's a wonderful thing, and I couldn't be more proud of him as a human being. And couldn't be more lucky to have someone. So he's generous, he's kind, and he's a hard worker. He's a tough guy, and I always pull for people like that.
Yeah. And you know, I've got a couple of suggestions for him and you, since you guys still kind of make beer right together.
Yeah.
Got a couple of names.
Okay.
It could be Mystery Grandpa.
Love it.
Or Grandpa Jerry.
Okay, yeah.
Grandpa That's Jerry
great.
Beer.
That's great.
And, you know, that can also be a tip. Tip is for his grandpa, but also a tip to my dad.
Absolutely.
Would have been Grandpa Jerry to
absolutely, man. What a... Yeah, cats. What a... Yeah. What a your dad was a special human being, man. And so just awesome. So happy that we have the ability to talk to our friends and people that come on the podcast that we don't know so well, but by getting to speak with them, and you know, we do become friends. Everyone we've ever had on the podcast, I can honestly say that we've developed a friendship through what we've been able to do, man.
Yeah, through our conversations, you know, we do kind of reach a level of friendship, a level of intimacy as a friendship by opening up and sharing these kinds of stories, whether it's Justin's stories or whether it's last week's with Valeria with her ghost and UFO type stories, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sharing your experiences, sitting down, being open to listening and sharing experiences and having exchange in conversation and ideas and everything that flows about it. That's how you make friends. That's where you develop things. And that's where, you know, you enrich everyone's lives by being part of it and taking part. And so that's what's, you know, we've been very fortunate to have a lot of new friends, but also a lot of old friends on here in Weirdsville sharing their stories.
Absolutely. We want to talk to you. You should get in touch with us. You should come on and share your life story. Maybe it's maybe you've got a funny anecdote. Maybe you've got a story about a class reunion. Whatever it is, we want you to come on and share your life experience.
Yep, we certainly do. All kinds of stories are welcome, no matter how big or how small. Everybody's got their own unique experiences and their own story to share, and we want to hear them. So get a hold of us through our email. That's my cat. That's one of them. That's Minnie, who's often a guest star here. Minnie says, get a hold of us through our email at wywspod@gmail.com. Or you can get a hold of us through our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, X, Threads, whatever it is, MySpace, Friendster, whatever it is that American Online Messenger.
God bless you if you have that.
I don't know. But Barry, do you remember what your very first email address was?
I don't, man. That I have no clue, to be honest.
I remember
you.
Mine.
What was it?
Westonboy@hotmail.com.
Shout out to Weston.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's awesome. The great great indie rock band from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel free to email that, but I haven't been able to get into it for years. So
oh, great.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. And thanks again, Justin, for sharing your wild stories. Those were fantastic. And thanks again for being part of Weirdsville and supporting the show and listening to the show and telling people about the show. And we love you guys. We'll report back if we have from our, you know, any interesting encounters the next few days of our reunion and et cetera. You never know what's going to happen. I can tell one thing. We're going to eat at El Charro.
Absolutely.
All right, Weirdsville, I'm packing my bags. We'll see you next time. And yes, Mindy's not happy I'm leaving. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.